Lecture number 12.
You realize there's only 45 lectures possible, so we are coming up to the 33% mark. So, well, actually 12 to be divisible, it might be even 30%. Any questions on the last lecture? That's what I like to hear. Resounding silence. Let us turn our attention to Mr. Ito's calculus. And we were aiming to calculate this quantity. Integral SU, WU, DU, where delta is positive, and we had decided to go for an intermediate step where calculations are easier. That looked like this, and we had determined that this had the functional form e to the minus 1/2 s squared delta. It's an s squared. That's the term from this part all by itself, first part all by itself. Then there is the second part all by itself. That's the cross term. I'll write that in a minute just to remind ourselves. Then we had the mixed term, su, sv. I'm sorry, not the mixed term. The term from the second part all by itself. SU, SV, minimum, U, comma, V, DU, DV, and then the middle term we had decided was O of delta, order of delta, times S. What S? This S. Everybody agree to that characterization? Just one more time, what was our O of delta? That was our calculation of SU, W of U, W of T plus delta minus W of T, DU, expectation value, and that was an integral from from T to T plus delta of S of U, U minus T, DU plus delta times the integral from t plus delta up to infinity of s of u, u. That's just a complete recipe of our algebraic rules for the second correlation function of linear processes. So this term is surely order of delta, and this term here is maximized by delta here. That's the largest the u can be. So the whole thing is an order. That. Okay, so let's expand that to power s squared. That will give us this term. So this thing then, our quantity of interest, we can get by expanding to power s squared. There will be a minus sign, and there will be a factor of a half. There it is, minus a half. So the leading term is delta from here. The S squared term. This part has no delta at all, so that stays. Then there is a contribution from the middle term, S times order of delta, but when we expand that out to look for terms of S squared, that will have order delta squared. So there's a correction on this, which is an order delta squared. Okay. I want to write that one more way, one more time. W of t plus delta minus W of t quantity squared against e to the I integral su w u du average is equal to delta times Now I'm going to go back to the fundamental formula, what that is, and all I need to do to get that is to set this little term equal to zero. So all I have left over is the integral term. That means it's the expectation value of e to the I s of u, w of u, du, plus order delta squared. Let's look at it in two instances. One, where s equals zero. This s is s of u equals zero. The function equals zero. So that says that expectation value t plus delta minus w of t squared is equal to delta plus order delta squared. Well, we know it's actually delta. What's that other term doing? That's because this order delta term here depends very much on our function s of u. And if s of u is set equal to zero, then this term disappears entirely. So this is correct. I want to take down the limit as delta goes to zero. That sounds like a funny thing to do. So I write that as w of t plus dt, borrowing the calculus ideas. That thing can be written another way. That's the differential of w of t quantity squared. And in the limit that delta goes to zero, this term I can neglect, and that's equal to dt. So our first conclusion is that expectation value of dw squared is dt. Not a surprise, because it really comes from this part, which we already knew held long ago. But the magic today is to look at it in case two, where s of u is not zero. To take this formula as it stands here, and then we learn that dw of t quantity squared e to the I s of u w of u du expectation value equals, this part goes away because that's order delta squared. All I get is that. I get dt times the expectation value of e to the I s u w u du.
Is that the square in the second line?
The upper line.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Remove that. Fix your notes. Okay. What does this say? What is the meaning of this equation? This equation says some stochastic variable, some random variable, averaged over a lot of things. In fact, this expression for general S, I can superimpose and get anything I want here as a generating class of functions here, all the moments, et cetera, et cetera. This thing, which superficially appears random and stochastic, is not random or stochastic. It's a multiplier. So not only is the average value of this quantity equal to dt, the thing itself equals dt. Something stochastic, random, equals deterministic with probability 1. That's the first rule of the Ito calculus. Okay, well, what does that mean? These are differentials. What does that mean? What can I do with it? Well, it means that if I ever encounter an expression like this, and I certainly will, inside an integral, I can replace that with f of t dt. That's how it acts. Okay. Now, what about dw of t cubed? If I'm interested in this kind of things to preserve, whatever this is, to integrate with, this will be like a dt times a dw. Because the two of these will be already a dt. So this is doubly small. And when I integrate that, it would be zero, so that is zero. So that means I can make a little table, a multiplication table, so-called Ito calculus, where I take dw and dt as entries, and the table represents the multiplication of these two quantities. So that's dt. Dt times dwt is zero. Dt times dt is also zero, and that's zero here. It's a symmetric table. Suppose I have two Wiener processes, W1 and W2. And I tell you that the expectation value of that quantity is zero. We learned the last time we were together. Is this the class I say pigs and?
No,
that's the other class, sorry. There's no ladies, so it was ladies and gentlemen, and then we went to pigs and gentlemen. Sorry, that's on the tape. Please ignore that. This means that W1 and W2 are independent. So what's a good word for that? Ralph Nader, they want to vote for somebody independent, okay? They're independent of each other, stochastically independent. All correlation functions involving the two of those would factorize into two others. Okay, so you extend the Ito calculus by saying the product of these two guys is zero. Okay. Let us now turn our attention to stochastic integrals. Stochastic integrals are integrals involving Wiener motion paths, Brownian motion paths. We've already encountered one of those kind of integrals when we talked about S of U, W of U, du. That's an integral involving a Wiener path. Now this integral is absolutely well defined for smooth S because W of U is a continuous function. So there's really, even Mr. Riemann for S good enough would have no problem in defining that. So this is well defined, give that a check mark. In fact, if I say I'm interested in this kind of integral, I don't have dt quite there, but I have d of y of t. That's like we often talk about measure dm of x or du of x. This is a Riemann integral. It can be promoted easily to a Lebesgue integral. This is called a Stieltjes integral, where you don't use the dt part. But, you know, we're physicists, so we laugh and multiply and divide by dt. And if our function dy dt is well behaved, that's continuous, so that means the y is already c1, continuous and differentiable, really nice function, then this is just, that's no problem. We understand that, and that's just like this problem.
Is ut.
Question?
Is u.
Oh, boy, t. Boy. Better make a t here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have then arranged for this guy. Let me now erase that because that's how we did that. What about this one? So that's the check. Y of t dw of t. What would we do there? Well, remember all integration by parts. So integration by parts says I can call that y of t w of t between limits, and then subtract off with a d on the other side, so that's w of t dy of t. That's just integration by parts. And so we will define this kind of integral by this rule. Check. Okay, now comes the tricky one. What about when we have a stochastic variable in each place there? I'm going to put this in quotation marks because this is tricky, and we're going to give two fundamentally different procedures to define them. Question? Okay. First goes under the name of Ito integral. So let's start with a function f. We're going to make a little abbreviation. W, we're going to break the line of time into steps. TL, TL minus 1, each one down there. And then we'll define the Brownian path at time t sub l just by w sub l. That will save us a little bit of chalk. Now we're interested in f at wl minus f at wl minus 1. We'll call that delta f. So we're back to elementary calculus, except we're not dealing with really friendly functions. We're dealing with these functions where w of t is continuous but nowhere differentiable. Okay, so what does Mr. Ito say? Well, he says, I'm going to define that the following way. He says, let us, minus 1. So he doesn't touch this argument, but he does put this argument in a slightly different form. WL minus 1 plus a correction term to bring it back to argument WL. Then he says, okay, I'm going to make a power series expansion of F, like Taylor series. So I have F of WL minus 1 plus F prime of WL minus 1 times WL minus WL minus 1 plus 1 half, I'm going on further, F double prime WL minus 1 times WL minus WL minus 1 quantity squared. I'll stop there. Indeed, I have this extra term minus F of L minus 1, that cancels my leading term. So that's gone, that's gone. So my net is F prime of WL minus 1, WL minus WL minus 1, plus, or no, no, yeah, plus, 1 half F double prime WL minus 1, WL minus WL minus 1 quantity squared.
Delta F.
Now I go toward the infinitesimal. So I say df of w of t, if you want to go technical, equals f prime of w of t times dw of t plus 1 half f double prime w of t times dw of t squared. And here it is. We use the Ito calculus rule that is dt. So here is Mr. Ito's formula for the differential of a function of a Brownian path. What does that mean for our integral? Let us solve for this term, f prime w of t, dw of t, integral, I'll put a subscript I down below to remind you it is Mr. Ito's rule, And that, what's the question?
Yes, if that's dependent on WT, the first derivative...
Here?
Yeah, how do we guarantee the existence of the second derivative?
Oh, I'm talking about functions. Don't worry about the existence of the second derivative. We're talking about functions that are nice.
Okay.
Nice enough.
And that's why we can power series it out.
That's why we're power series it, we're truncating it, we're ignoring it. So the cube will exist, all these guys probably will exist, but they don't count in the continuum limit because that was, we had the next thing was a delta W cubed, which we've agreed is zero in this kind of limit.
That's what you meant by friendly?
That's what I mean by
friendly.
Friendly functions?
Yeah.
Sure,
functions.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so that's integral df of w of t minus, bring that to the other side, integral f double prime w of t dt. Well, this one we can do. That's just the sum of differences. So Mr. Ito, and let's give it a particular... no, let's go up to T then. F prime of W of U, DW of U. I put in limits now, 0 to T. So that will be F of W of T minus F of W of 0 minus 1 half integral 0 to T. F double prime W of U, U. So that's Mr. Ito's integral of this kind. Well, let's apply it. Let's take as our example the one we're motivating here. So example, f prime of x equals x. So we're going to replace that by a w, this from over there. And therefore, our f, our indefinite integral, we can call 1 half x squared. That's this function here. So 0 to t, according to Mr. Ito, of w of t dw of t is equal to 1 half w of t quantity squared minus this term, but we know that w at 0 vanishes, so we don't have that term, minus 1 half, here we have f double prime, so we take a prime of that, we get unity, I integrate unity, I get t over 2. So that is Mr. Ito's answer for that integral.
The integral in the left, should it not have WU, DW, U instead of a T at the bottom line there?
Sure. Right. Okay, well, this integral looks bizarre. It should look bizarre. If you haven't seen it before, it should look bizarre. Let me show you a little property of this integral, which may at first say, wow. How's it go? Can you do that? Okay. So, let's look at the expectation of our integral according to Ito, 0 to t, w of u, thank you, dw of u, that's equal to 1 half W of t quantity squared, expectation value, minus t over 2. But what is expectation value of W squared? That is t itself. So that's t over 2 minus t over 2 equals 0. The expectation value of Ito integrals is zero. Why? Let's look at the formula. It all came from this prescription right there. That was our clearly defined starting place, and what this was the infinitesimal presumed limit of that. there's something here that you have to understand. We have a delta W, but that delta W, remember the delta W's were independent increments? For little intervals of time, they're independent. And this interval of time is ahead of, in the future of, any term over here. This term is at the end of it. This is called a non-anticipating definition or interval. Non-anticipating an interval. The delta W points to the future. And as a consequence, the expectation value, we could do it here, it's kind of clearer if we do it, the expectation value of the delta Fs, according to this rule, delta F, expectation value delta F, here, now notice, this term is not exactly equal to this term. We have expanded that out to second order in the Taylor series and stopped. So I'm kind of dropping that term, that formula, and saying this is what we want as our delta F, and that's the one whose expectation value I'm taking.
I thought you said the rest of them were zero.
What?
I thought you said the rest of them were zero because of the DW cubed.
Yeah, they are. They, but not at this point. Not at this point. We haven't taken the limit.
Oh, okay. Right.
Okay?
Right.
Okay. So that's equal to expectation value F of W of L, W of L, no, L minus 1, W of L minus W L minus 1. Seem to say plus expectation value F double W. Oh, yes, sure. I hope so. Yeah. Okay, so what do we know? This is independent. So I can put a bracket in the middle. But this one is zero because the average of Wiener process is by definition zero. This one is also independent. It's an increment ahead of those, so I can put an expectation value in there. But this is not necessarily zero. It would be zero. And what is happening is telling me that the expectation value is given by this second term. Okay. Now, I'm not coming up with the zero answer I expected it to be. So sometimes it's not zero, but it depends. It's something called a martingale. I'll just throw out, you know, weapons of mass destruction. I'll try to overcome you with a large term here. A martingale is a quantity. Depending on a certain amount of time, conditioned on the fact that you knew something about this at the earlier, at an earlier time, let's say t earlier. And this has the property, okay, so conditioned, I put my little bar there. That has the property that its expectation value is the value at that earlier time. Now, where did my expectation go? My expectation went away because this is no longer a probabilistic statement. This is a conditional statement. I knew what the values were at that earlier time. So this is telling me what that is. Okay, let's not carry the detail. And an Itô integral is a martingale.
This word shows up in annuities or something. The actuarial.
Yes, why? What are you trying to tell me? I'm being bombarded here from the back by technical terms. What did you want to say?
I'm volleying your technical term back at you.
Oh, very good.
appreciate it. Now,
I invite you to take another example, like W U cubed DWU, and integrate that according to Mr. Ito using the rule, and then take the expectation value, and you will find that that is zero. Okay. Now, as the story goes, a few years after Mr. Ito wrote his paper on the Ito integral, and then it was translated from Japanese into Russian, etc., etc., a Russian engineer, of all people, screamed and yelled, "This is absurd." And so he invented the Stratonovich. And in the same vein as this is called the non-anticipating integral, this is called the midpoint rule. Yes.
Is DF
is louder?
Is DF a good measure?
V
DF.
Is DF where?
Perfect.
Here.
Yes.
A good measure. So the question is my little DF a good measure? And the question is, if I wanted to test that, I would. And we're dealing with everything is real. I would break it into its positive parts and its negative parts. Okay. I would say there are two parts to that measure, where it's positive and where it's negative. Then I would ask, is DF plus a bona fide measure? Is DF minus a bona fide measure by itself? And then I subtract them. I don't want any infinite cancellation between these two guys. Then it would be a bona fide measure.
But why do you want it to be a measure?
I don't. He does. Well, no, he's got a point. If I'm going to integrate DF, which I claim to have done, in order to use the fundamental theorem of calculus, that had better be a measure.
So, can I ask why we can't just multiply that out on the expectation value?
So the question is, why can't we multiply out this term?
Yeah, the one zero.
Huh?
Why can't we just do that like the other one?
We can. We have.
Okay.
That's what the expectation values in the middle mean. It's a product of two separate expectation values.
Okay.
This one we know is epsilon, dt, or what we called delta before. And this one is what it is.
Okay.
All right. Let's follow Mr. Stratonovich's idea. We're going to start at the same place. F of WL minus F of WL minus 1. Going to start by doing exactly what Mr. Ito did. F of WL minus 1 plus WL minus WL minus 1. So I've corrected for that first term. But I'm only going to do that for half of the original term.
There's an unbalanced parenthesis.
Often. And I'm going to treat it, the second half, in the other way, kind of symmetrization of the procedure. So here I take the second term and write that as F of WL, the same argument here, plus correction term. Make sure you understand what I'm doing. Question me if you're not clear. Now we expand that out, just as we did before. I won't write the leading term because that's immediately going to cancel that. So then we have delta F is F prime WL minus 1 times the difference of the two W's, plus one half the second derivative, WL minus 1, times the square of that difference in W's. And I will neglect the third order term. And then we do the same thing in the bottom line, one half. Now I'm taking a derivative with respect to the other one. I'm expanding the second term in a Taylor series. There's a minus here, and there's a minus here. And the two minuses will come together to give me a term very much like the first, except I have a different argument in front. I have f prime of WL. Now I must do that my second order term. And when I take out the second expansion here, the minus sign here that I have will disappear. And I have one net minus sign left over. So I have minus a half f double prime W of L times W of L minus W L minus 1 squared. And again, we stop our series and call that delta F. We now take the limit.
The limit as delta, which is, but this time we can define it as the maximum of the TL minus 1s goes to 0, something like that. Not to 6, but to 0. So that gives me DF of W, potentially a measure,
equals 1 half this term plus this term. But that becomes F prime of W of T times DW T. These two terms cancel. And so that's the end of my story. In fact, I can say, in this case, pretty much, that delta F is 1 half F prime of WL plus F prime of WL minus 1 times WL minus 1. That's this term. I'm adding these two together, and I'm effectively allowing this one, these two to cancel. That's not inconsistent with the final result. So this is the midpoint rule. I've put for the coefficient not a full value of this term, but half of that term and half of the term at the other point. Now, you're clever people. You could imagine this is 0 and 1 and a half and a half. You can play any percentage you like. You could have 70% of the back point and 30% of the front point. That's this linear combination of Mr. Stratanovich and Mr. Ito. Nothing interesting.
What sort of information do you lose when you get rid of the martingale term?
Well, on the contrary, each kind of integral has its own advantage and correspondingly disadvantage. Mr. Ito is good for blah, 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 while Mr. Stratanovich is good for blah things. You know, I should have used nicer words because Stratanovich is actually more important for our... for our kind of discussion. So, okay, let me try that again. Ito is good for singing. Well, Mr. Stratanovich is good for eating. Yeah. All right. Well, what is the integral? The integral then is integral Stratanovich f prime of W of T dW of T is equal to just the integral of that, which is f of w of t, plus usual constant kind of stuff. Or if I want to put on limits 0 to t, Stratanovich, then we'll call it f prime of w of u to protect the innocent, dw of u equals f of w of t minus f of w of 0. In other words, for Stratanovich definition, the ordinary rules of calculus apply. Now, that's not so true.
trivial as it sounds. These are not classical functions. These are Brownian motion paths, continuous but nowhere differentiable. Nevertheless, the ordinary rules of calculus apply. And that's very powerful, and I want you to remember that, because that will come up later when we have a choice of choosing Ito or Stratonovich. And we will choose Stratonovich because the ordinary rules of calculus will apply. Okay, so if I integrate...
Which one gets you the correct?
Which one is correct?
Which one gets you the correct experimental result?
So I just wanted to do this for the record. This is J. Squat Little, who has asked this bizarre question. Which integral is correct experimentally? This is mathematics right now.
I understand, but
there are two choices to make. Just like it's called, why is this happening, you say? Why could this possibly be? This is because these are distributions, and you're multiplying distributions, and that is an ambiguous process. Watch. Let's take x times delta of x times 1 over x. Okay, those are three, I will call them distributions. Okay, little x looks like a function, but it's not wrong to call it a distribution as well. If I do this in parentheses, x times delta x is called 0. So that would be 0. But if I do this in parentheses and multiply by that, then I get delta of x. Multiplication of distributions is ambiguous in general. You know, sometimes not. This is an example where it's not. This is an example where it's not. We have defined this process. This was an undefined integral. Mr. Riemann couldn't handle this. Mr. Lebesgue can't handle our original w of t, dw of t. You ask if this is a measure, that is not a measure. Dw of t is not a measure. That's why it can't be handled this way. It's got to be given another rule. And so we go back to the drawing board. And here is the drawing board. And we have these two possibilities. Martingales have a role to play. And if you are interested in martingales, then you will choose Mr. Ito. When we talk about stochastic differential equations, which we will briefly do toward the end of this chapter, then commonly that is done with Ito, certainly in the mathematical literature, although it's you can always transform one to the other by the appropriate adding the F double prime wherever you need it. Further questions?
So your answer, which one is better, depend on what equation you're talking about and what your boundary conditions are.
Which one is better depends on your application.
That's a good question.
What you want to do?
Okay.
Which is better, functions of space or functions of Fourier transform variable, functions of x or functions of momentum? Depends on your application.
John?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean that there are only these two kinds that can happen, or can I dream of a third or a fourth?
Well, okay. I kind of indicated that. That I could take, instead of a half.
Yeah, but that's still a linear combination of
things. That's a linear combination. I can think of no others. We're up to defining things, right? We can define anything as we like. So we could say that this little thing, you know, delta F, I call F cubed. When it's F cubed, you know, there's not much logic in that. It's not wrong, mathematically possible, but certainly deviates from the naturalness in this problem.
But that will not, if you alter the function like that, then that will not give you the results of ordinary calculus.
Repeat the question?
No, if you do that, like f cubed.
Cube, yes.
Then it would not give the results of ordinary calculus.
Yeah, right, it would not be. I beg your pardon. Okay, we actually quit at this moment, don't we?
Yes.
11:40, 12? No, 12:50. We have 5 more minutes. Okay, sir. I got three crazy hours to keep in mind. Okay, so that's Ito and Stratonovich, and we will come back to those also in this chapter, but later when we deal with the true
path integrals. Okay, now, I think we had a few minutes to knock out the whole Wiener measure, right? So we've already decided that we can force the paths to go through a set of points x1 through xl at time t1 through tl. That is, of course, nothing more than our delta function that all of these things happen. W of t1. That one's an angle. And we found out what that is. That is the product of a p xl tl, xl minus 1 tl minus 1, from l equals 1 to capital L. And we know what those things are. That was 1 over root 2 pi tl minus 1 product. Now L equals 1 to cap L e to the minus xl minus 1 quantity squared 2 tl minus 1, like that. Just the ordinary little transition probabilities as indicated. Now, let's find the Wiener measure. Characteristic functions are the way to go. So let's put in little characteristic functions for each guy. That's kind of like what we did before. Be very careful here. I'm going to add something to this equation in a moment. So that is Fourier transform, like, that's SL, L equals 1 to capital L, 1 to capital L, SL, XL. Then I have E, the 1 over square root 2 pi epsilon. I'm going to call that epsilon. Let's make all the little time steps equal. Call that epsilon. Then we have E to the minus summation XL minus 1 squared divided by 2 epsilon. Then I have this thing raised to the L plus 1 over 2. The 2 is not important. It's already built into the square root, I've indicated. And then I integrate L equals 1 to L. I guess that is not L plus 1. That's just power L. Then I have the product of all the integrals for L equal 1 dxl. Okay.
What is x0, t0?
x0 is defined to be 0 as we start. We pin things at the origin at t0, which is 0. Okay, we have 1 minute left, so let me just state this. This is the next tricky thing we want to add. Normally, when we've been dealing with discrete families, like our little family of Gaussians and everything, we took the limit L to infinity of that kind of expression. But now I want to make this slightly different. I want to make this become an integral. So I have to take a slightly different form of the characteristic function. Namely, I want to put an epsilon here. That becomes my delta t or dt in the limit. So that's my expression that I want to take that. I want to take a limit in which epsilon goes to 0, L goes to infinity, and the little values of epsilon and L along the way become the time value along the path. And say epsilon times big L will go to cap t, my final limit from 0 to cap t. Okay, that's enough for today. End of lecture.